All right. Good morning, everyone. David North here. happy Thanksgiving to everyone, almost. Yeah, it's our first Thanksgiving in America for 5 years, I think. And so we're enjoying the season here. Our first winter for 5 years as well. So I had to pull out some sweaters and try and figure out how to tie ties and put coats on again. It's great to be here with you, and we're so thankful to God for you all and for this church. And people sometimes ask us, so what's your home church? And actually, our sending church originally was First Baptist Church in Atlanta. But we always tell people, but the church that we feel most like it's our home church is Foothills Bible Church. And we were here a year before we went out in 1986. And this church has been the most involved in our lives, in our ministry. A special thanks to Joyce File and for Doug allowing her to take care of the missionaries. She's such a great connection for all of us and the missions team here. And actually, this church is our biggest supporting church financially. They're also one of the few churches that actually hound us every month for prayer requests so that they can really pray for us. And send us birthday gifts and Christmas gifts and used to send our kids Christmas gifts every year. And it's so good to be here with you all. This is the church that sent the most short-term mission workers out to work with us as well. So it's wonderful to be back here today. And I would like to just start with a word of prayer. Let's just bow and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we've been reminded again today, Lord, of your wonderful love and how you gave everything on the cross for us to find life through Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for the cross today, Lord. Even as we come into this place, Heavenly Father, we remember that we're not saved because of righteous things that we have done, but we're saved by your mercy and by the grace of our Lord Jesus who died for our sin. And we want to praise you for that, Lord, today. And to remember, Lord God, that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And you've given us your word, O God, because you want to speak to us in our hearts and in our lives. And you have a message for us even this morning. So, Father, we pray as we open your word and as we look at it together, we pray that you will really speak to us for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, lately I've been reading through my Bible again for this year, just in John, so I've still got a little ways to go before the end of the year. Not long ago I was looking back at my journal. I keep a journal and write in it fairly often, and looking back at the things that God has been teaching me as I read through the Bible, and wow, it's just amazing the wonderful things that God has given to us in the Word of God. It's like this treasure chest full of riches that can speak to us and that can help us and encourage us. And we're so blessed to have the Bible, the Word of God, that God has given to us. And when I read the Bible, I feel so much closer to God. And when I do read the Bible, I feel like I'm walking through life with God. And then I wonder, why don't I read it more when it's so great to read it and to have God in my life in this way? And, you know, in mission work, there have been many times that there have been things happen that are really stressful and cause me a lot of anxiety. And it's always when I go back to the Word of God. And I pull out my Bible and I kneel down and just meditate on His Word. That God reminds me that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And He reminds me that He is bigger than all my problems. And He reminds me it's His mission, it's not my mission. And he always helps me when I have decisions to make and I don't know what to do. And I go to his word and God speaks to me and shows me what to do in unexpected ways and places. He encourages me and he helps me know how to counsel people where I just don't know. I'm not Jesus who can see their hearts, you know, who knows what they're thinking. I don't know. I didn't make them. Lord, I don't know what to say to them. And I just open my Bible and I just search and God shows me how to help people. And God uses his word to help me fight temptation each day of my life. And so I just thank God for the Spirit-inspired word of God, that God wanted to talk to us. And so he, by his Holy Spirit, he wrote this down and he gave it to us for our lives. And I know that last week, although I wasn't here, but I listened on the internet. And I know that as you've been going through the book of James, you started last week. Before that, you were looking at how God wants to cause us to grow more like Christ. And he uses trials in our lives, right? We were looking at that before. And then last week, we started looking at the fact that another thing that God uses to build everything he wants to in our lives is the Bible, the Word of God. And we saw there in the few verses that the way that we prepare ourselves for reading and benefiting and being blessed by the Word of God, the way we do that is we have to get rid of pride and anger and all of these self-centered things in our lives. And God often has to break us of those things and teach us humility so that when we come to the Word of God, now we're ready to hear whatever God has to say. And we don't have that pride hindering the Word of God. And so we're going to continue looking at that. And the title for our talk today is How to Be Blessed by Your Bible. How to Be Blessed by Your Bible. And as we look through there, we will see, like it says at near the end of that, in verse 25, it says, these people who read the Bible in a certain way, they will be blessed in whatever they do. That's what he says. And I know that if you're like me, we all want to be blessed, right? We all want to be blessed by God. And he tells us here how everything that we can do can be blessed by God. And so I'd like us to open our Bibles. And we'll begin in James chapter 1 and verse 22. And we have it up here. It says, in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And basically, this is the message that he has for us today. This is the theme verse for this passage. And if you look on your handout there, you'll see that there's a number of things that we need in order to be blessed by our Bibles. And the first one that we find in there and that I see in this verse is that you have to read your Bible. All right, that sounds pretty obvious, right? He says, don't just be listeners. All right, so back in their day, not everybody had their own Bibles. Or their own cell phone Bible or whatever it was. But somebody had to read it for them from the parchment. And so he used the word listeners. But for us, maybe we would say readers or listeners, all right? So he says you have to read it to benefit from it, right? So obvious, and yet I wonder how much we actually do of that. We actually pull it out and start dusting it off and reading the Bible, because unless we do that, we're not able to benefit from that Bible that we have. I had a friend in the Philippines. He was a biker. We used to mountain bike. I used to join these guys, and we'd go all over the hills there. And it was one of my ways to try and connect with lost people and be able to share Christ with those people. And one time on our day off on a Monday, Kathy and I were at the swimming pool, and this one biker was there, biker friend of mine, Romy. And Romy and I started to talk, and he said, he would have called himself a Christian of sorts, but he said, you can't really know what religion is true And for him, religion in that context meant you're either Roman Catholic or you're Protestant or you're Jehovah's Witness or you're a Mormon or something like that. And so he said, you can't really know which religion is true. He says, all religions are just the same. And so I asked him, I said, Romy, do you have a Bible? And he said, and I said, oh, you don't have a Bible? And he said, well, he says, I do, but, and I said to him, you mean you don't read it? And he said, yeah, that's right. And I was able to just talk to him and say, and explain to him and say to him, you know, God wants you to know him. And God wants you to know what he's like. And God wants you to know how to find him. And he's told us in the Bible how to do that. God wants to guide your life and God wants to bless your life. But if you don't read his word, you'll never know any of those things. And it's true, you'll never know which religion is right. So we have to read the Bible for it to benefit us. It doesn't matter if you have it on your computer and on your shelf and beside your bedstand, but we have to read it. And so the first question would be, when do you read your Bible? The second thing he says, he tells us in here, he says in that verse that we were reading in verse 22 earlier, he was saying there, don't merely be listeners to the word, but be doers of the word. Do it, just do it, right? Nike would tell us. Actually, it's interesting here in this translation, the NIV, it says, do what it says. In most of the translations, it says, be doers of the word. In other words, it's not just about an action you do, but it's something that you are, right? That you, what are you? You are a doer of the word. It's something that's being built into your character, that when God says something, you obey him. You just do it. You know, that's the kind of person he says that we should be, not just merely listeners. And it's interesting in verse 22 to 25 in this passage that James shows us that there are two kinds of readers of the Bible. And the first kind are deceived readers. And the second kind of Bible readers are blessed readers, right? So I want us to first look at that first kind of reader, which is deceived Bible reader. And that's not the kind of person that we want to be. And so he says here in verse, if we can put those up, verse 22 up to 24, he says, do not merely listen to the word. So then we have to do more than that. And so deceive yourself, he says. Do what it says. I skipped a line there. All right. Do not be merely listeners and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So it's like you wake up in the morning, you're a lady among us, and you wake up and you realize you forgot to take off your makeup at night, and now it's smudged all over the place in the morning, and you know, you realize you were drooling, and now it's dried and crusty in this cold Colorado dry air, and you look in the mirror and you're horrified, and then you just walk away and you forget, and you don't do anything about it. And you wouldn't, that doesn't make sense, right? You wouldn't do that. And he's saying, well, that's what it's like for somebody who says that they know and love the Lord Jesus and they look in the Word and they see the goodness of Jesus in the Word, who is the ideal person. And he says, it's like this is our mirror, which helps us show what we need to fix up and where we smudged, where we have the smudges of sin in our life. And we would read that. And then we would just walk away and forget and do nothing about it. And he said, that doesn't make sense. It's not something that we should do. We would do in normal life. And yet we do that with the Word of God. And he said, it's like we have this manual for a nice our nice new cell phone, you know, or some gadget like one of these wrist phones or the new iPhone, the wrist one that they wear. I've been overseas, so I don't know what they call those things. But anyway, it has all these this great technology in it, and retina recognition and fingerprint and GPS and heartbeat rate monitor and note taking and voice recording and everything built into this thing, and you buy that, but you never read about what you can do with it, but you buy it and you think that you're smarter because you have such a cool gadget, but the fact is you're actually dumber because you spent all that money and you don't know how to use it. And God is telling us, don't deceive yourself. You're deceived if you're thinking that because you have this, and even because you read it, but you don't do what it says, you don't read the directions, and you think you're okay. Maybe you think you're a better Christian, but you're really you're a worse off Christian if you have it and you don't apply it in your life. In fact, he says there that you're a deceived Christian if you live like that. And what I think this means for us is that there's actually a very negative effect if we know the Word of God, but we don't apply it in our lives. In fact, there's warnings about that in the Bible. And not only is it there a negative thing for us personally, but it's a negative thing for the people around who are looking at Christians when we don't let the Word of God change us in our lives. We think we're okay because we know a lot, because we've memorized a lot, because we won the Bible competition, the Bible quiz or something. And yet, the fact is we are not more pleasing to God just because we know more. And that's what Jesus told us. Actually, he was talking to some religious people in Matthew chapter 7 during the Sermon on the Mount. And there were these religious people there. And it was as though if he were sitting here today, he might say to you, I know you grew up in a Christian family and you're attending Foothills Bible Church and you're in a G2 group. And in fact, I understand God would say, I understand you went to Colorado Christian University and took up Bible there, and I know now that you're on the preaching team, you know, and maybe you can even cast out demons and do miracles. And Jesus said to them, but you still could go to hell and do that. You know, that's what he said. Yeah, if we can put that up here, Matthew chapter 7, that's not me saying it. This was Jesus talking to religious people. And actually this verse, I have a list in the back of my spiritual journal there, and I have a page at the back in it, and I have a list, scary verses. And this is one of those scary verses. And Jesus said to them, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, we drove out demons and we did miracles. And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What a horrible thing to have happen to a person. But I noticed the word that he used at the end of that verse 23. He said, away from me, you evil doers. Doers. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus is not, and James is not talking about this is how you get saved by doing good works. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying that when there's been a genuine work of God and you genuinely love Jesus Christ, one of the results in our life should be that our life changes and that we follow. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, he who loves me will keep my word. And will do what I command, Jesus said. And so it's one of the things that James is not telling us how to get saved, but he talks to us about what saved looks like. And this is one of the things it looks like, that we need to apply the word in our heart. And being merely listeners or merely readers of the word doesn't actually cut it with the Lord. And, you know, I believe that, well, you've probably heard about unbelievers who have said about Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, we're talking to lost people in our ministry all the time. And I've really had people say that right to my face. You know, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And I believe that most true born-again Christians are really trying to follow the Lord, and they're not hypocrites. I mean, maybe we all have a little hypocrite in us that we need to keep working out of us, right? But most of us are genuinely, we want to follow the Lord. We're not yet perfect. We're not there yet. But there's this in our heart that we want to obey the Lord, and we want to honor the Lord in our lives. But the reason that people say that is because somewhere in their experience of somebody who claimed to be a Christian, that person lived more like the devil. Or they looked at that person and that person, there was nothing different about that person. And so why should I listen? Why should I even be a Christian? I mean, what's the difference? You know, I think of this guy in our church, Joseph, who's he was an atheist during his college university days. In fact, he started an atheists club, and he recruited the psychology students to be his club members, and they would preach atheism on the university campus there. And a few years later, two or three years later, after he graduated, some things had really gone bad in his life. And I can't go into the whole story of how he came into our lives, but he accepted Christ through tragedy and hardship and God working in his heart. But he accepted Christ. And he's a promotional speaker in corporations and all of that now. And for about 7 years, and this is his testimony, and I'm a witness that it was true, for about 7 years after he accepted Christ, he was still trying to live by the world's values, and most of his life was still about himself. And interestingly, in light of last week's sermon about anger, that was his big issue. It was controlling people and controlling situations and using anger to do that. And it was really about himself still. And for about 7 years, he would still talk to people about Christ or about his new faith. And he would invite his neighbors to come with him to church, and nobody would come. And no one was interested. One of his neighbors' name was Bernard. And Bernard and his wife had been away from the Lord for many years, actually. But they were seeking in their heart, and Joseph would try to invite them, but they would just say, "Why should we go with him? I mean, that church doesn't help. Look at his life." And then I still remember the day where we had this retreat where we just worked through all the areas of our life and bring it all under the control of Christ and surrender everything to Christ. And Joseph was there at that one-day retreat, and it was a dramatic work of God in his life, and he really was broken completely, and he surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. And his whole life, he said, was no longer about himself, his business, everything. And it was a dramatic change. Kathy and I thought, okay, maybe he got born again. You know, I don't know. But there was something really happened that day when he surrendered everything to Christ and decided to live his life for Jesus. And it was only a few months later, and Bernard and Gina were really searching. And Bernard said, let's try out Joseph's church, because look how much he's changed, you know, and there must be something there. And so they came, and now Bernard is surrendered to Jesus Christ, and he's leading Bible study with his employees, and God is using him in leading others to Christ as well. But, you know, this is our goal as Christians, and this is what James is talking about in here. He talked about back, I think it was in verse 19, where anger doesn't bring about the righteousness that God desires, right? So anger doesn't do that. And the righteousness that God desires, that's a translation. It says the righteousness of God, right? Which usually is interpreted that righteousness which comes from God. You know, that which is an overflow of our knowing God, that's the righteousness that comes out of us, right? And so that's what God wants from us, that his righteousness, the righteousness that comes because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and Jesus, the Bible says, dwells in us, and his life, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So the life of Christ begins to dominate in us, and no longer the self-life dominating in us. And he's telling us here that one of the ways this can become true in our life is that we take the Word of God and we read the Word of God, and we read it with this goal that it's going to change our lives. And that's what will win people to Jesus Christ around us. Kathy and I were in Chattanooga about 2 weeks ago, and there was a young German man there. I think he was about 30 years old, but when he was a teenager, he grew up in East Germany, formerly East Germany, which was under communism. And he said the communists did a real good job of making a nation of atheists. And he said his dad and his family were all hardcore atheists. His dad would mock and criticize Christians or believers of any kind. And so he grew up himself an atheist. But when he was a teenager, he said he met some Christians, real Christians. And he said the thing that really struck him with these Christians was their genuine care and kindness. And he said, you know what? In our world without God, he said, with our friends and with our family, we never just saw simple kindness for no reason. He said, if we wanted people to respect us or to be good to us, we had to outperform everyone. We had to fight for it. We had to show that we were better, that we could beat them in a game or in a sport, and we always had, or in fighting or whatever. He said, we always had to prove ourselves. And here were these Christians. They were just kind. They were just kind. They were just good people and caring people. And he said that's what made him get a New Testament and start finding about this Jesus, who he was. And through that, he got to know Christ as his Savior. And he was saved. And now at age 30, he is working now in one of the main cities there in formerly East Germany. And he's trying to plant a church amongst urban atheists. And God is using him. And one of their main strategies is just to show the kindness of Christ in their real life. And that's what the Bible is supposed to help us to do. God works through the Word of God to help us become people where people will learn who Jesus is, and they'll see the fruit of the Spirit, and they'll come to know the Father, the Heavenly Father, because the love of the Father is in us as well. And so we don't want to be deceived, right? And we don't want to be deceivers either, giving a wrong impression. But we want to be those who are blessed because of the Word of God working in our life. And that's what he says. If you look at verse 25, it says, but whoever looks intently, or the one who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, that is, whoever looks into and pours over the Word of God that sets us free and has that as a lifestyle, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed. Those are the readers who will be the blessed readers. So basically in this verse 25, I see several more R's if you're looking on your notes there. All right. Several more things that tell us, okay, once we're reading, what kind of a reader? How do I become the right kind of a reader so that I will be blessed in what I do? And he says, the first thing I saw in there after reading is reflect. We need to reflect on what we read. And it says that in verse 25 where he says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law, right? So the perfect law is God's words, God's will for us. Whoever looks intently, that's that meaning of that word. I look in the Word of God, and when I look at it, I'm digging for that treasure. I know there's something in here for me in my life, and I'm looking for that. And I know that this is the inspired Word of God. And I know that God made this so that I will hear from Him. And so when I read the Word, I'm looking for God to tell me something. for my life, to communicate with me. And he says, whoever does this, whoever reflects, who spends time looking intently, he said, God's going to bless that person who does that in their life. And he says, he looks into the perfect law, looks intently into the perfect law, because this is the perfect word of God, and it's good. It's given to us for our good. And he says, the perfect law that brings us freedom in our life. And we might stop and say, wait a minute, law doesn't bring freedom, right? Law brings boundaries or limitations. No, he says the perfect law that brings freedom into our life. And when someone says to you, we don't want any law, we're cast off all law. The Bible says actually sin is lawlessness, right? But you might want to ask that person, so when you say you're free, well, are you free from anger? Are you free from guilt? Are you free from bitterness? You know, are you free from those addictions in your life? Are you free from conflict with your family members? What are you really free from, you know? But the Bible tells us, no, the law, the perfect law of God, as we reflect on it and meditate on it, it's perfect, and it brings us freedom, really, in our hearts. The real kind of freedom that our hearts need comes from following the law of God. The law of God, I'm not talking about a list of rules, but I'm talking about what God has told us He wants in our lives. It's the heart of God being revealed to us, and that's the best thing for our lives, he says. It'll bring us freedom, just like a train. If a train runs on the tracks, and the tracks limit that train as it goes where it's going, and it can only go within those tracks, and if that train, the little blue engine, says, okay, I'm getting off this track, and I'm going to go where I want to, and he runs through the field, and his wheels get stuck in the mud, and dirty, and maybe tips over or something, because he's not made for that. But if he'll stay with the tracks, he'll run to fulfillment, and he'll run and he'll accomplish what he was made to do. And it's the same with us, with God, that his laws are good. And as we surrender ourselves and submit ourselves to God's law, to God's ways, it really is the best kind of a life that God has, is that life of obedience to the word and letting God change us through his word. So he says we need to reflect, but often, you know, we'll read. And I've done this too. We all do this. We'll get up in the morning and we read, and we have to finish our chapter really quickly. So we hurry through it, and then we say, oops, God, sorry, I've got to go. You know, I've got something important to do. You know, something important, huh? And yet we all do that. But if that's all we do, then there's a problem, right? If that is our habit, then that's a real problem. And that's why I think he says in that verse, the person who does this looks intently into the perfect law and continues in it. In other words, it's a habitual thing. It is our lifestyle that we spend time in the Word, you know, listening to God, looking intently, and then living it out in our lives. And he says, the person who does that, he said, that person is going to be blessed in what they do. And he says we need to read, we need to reflect, and then he says we need to remember it. It says there in verse 25, peers into or looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have read. So I found out. You know, I told you, I mentioned I have my spiritual journal that I write things down. When I'm learning things from God, I try to write them down. One thing is I'm forgetful. And the other thing is I really feel like as God teaches me things in my life, I feel like whenever I write it down to remember it, it seems like that God talks to me more. And maybe he's thinking, okay, this guy's going to remember it, so maybe I can tell him some more, you know. Whereas if I'm not writing things down and remembering, it's like I don't seem to hear as much. I don't know if it's God's not saying as much, or if I'm just more sensitive to what he's saying when I'm trying to remember it. And not only that, but if I remember what God teaches me in His Word, if I can write it down, record it, and remember it, then I don't have to learn it again in the future through another hard lesson, right? So it's better to remember it and not have to relearn it in the future. So he says here, remembering what he has taught us and writing it down. And one of the great things is taking the sermon notes. I'm glad to see that you have that there, that you can take those and you can read those with your family members or whatever. And then if you can take that home and you can apply that lesson that you hear every Sunday, you can apply that in your life. And you do that every week for a year, then hopefully at the end of the year, you have grown more like God, Christ wants you to in 52 different ways, right? Imagine that. That's right. So we try to take it every week and let it come into our lives and what we read in the Word of God. We need to remember it and let God put that in our hearts. And as we remember Scripture, then those Scriptures are stuck in our head. And I remember my brother telling me, he said, you know, the more Scripture that you have in your head, the more tools the Holy Spirit has to speak to you when you need Him to. Because the verses are already up there and the Holy Spirit can just bring it into your mind. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of the ways that I do it is I have my spiritual journal where I write what God's teaching me. But then when God gives me verses that are special, I write them in the back on my memory verse page. I have my scary verse page and my memory verses page. And my prayer lists and all in the back as well. But I'll write the memory verse there, and I'll try and write it from memory, and then I'll review 2 weeks' work worth back, so that I'm reviewing everything probably at least 14 times before I move on to the next verses. And so there's lots of ways to do that. My mom used to post verses, you know, on the kitchen, above the kitchen sink, or on the refrigerator door beside the handle, or on the bathroom mirror, or in front of the toilet, wherever you spend a lot of time, I guess. And she would hang it beside the telephone, you know, back in the days where you hung a telephone on the wall, and she would put the verse there, and she would remember all through. When I used to drive 45 minutes to work, I would always paste a verse on my way to work on my steering wheel there and try to learn those verses. So, because, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, your word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I hide it in my heart, and then God can use it to help me in the days to come. And so we do that. So, but again, come back to the fact that it's not enough to have a Bible, to read your Bible, to reflect on your Bible. If that's all you do, to remember your Bible, the last thing we have to do is we have to respond to the Word God gives us. And that's where he says in there, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, right? Just do it. Nike told us, just do it. You know, I don't know why it is. I guess somehow, because we love grace so much, we think that obeying is contradictory to grace. But it's really not. It's an outflow of God's grace in our life. That obedience is a wonderful thing that God tells us we need to have in our life. It's an outflow of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, we need to act on it. And let's see, what time do we have here? All right, so I just want to mention this. I heard about this missionary, and he was a missionary in Korea, and he was teaching in a seminary in Korea. And one day, one of his Korean students came to him and said, sir, may I recite some verses to you in the Bible? And so the missionary said, well, sure, go ahead. And so this young Korean seminary student started to recite, and he recited the whole Sermon on the Mount, all three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount, word for word. And the missionary was quite amazed and impressed by this. But at the end, he said to the young Korean student, he said, you know, that's really great that you've done that. But the important thing is not memorizing, but the important thing is now that you will do those things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Korean student said, oh, yes, sir, I know that. He said, in fact, I was having a hard time memorizing it. So what I would do is I would just take one or two verses and I would try to learn them, and then I would go out and do them. And then I would come back and I would do the next few verses and I would go out and do them. And then I would come back, and he said, that's how I was able to memorize the whole thing. And so the missionary was so impressed with this. And what a great example to all of us. And that's really the key that he tells us is God wants to bless our lives. And God wants to be present in our lives and speaking to us and showing us the way and the better way in life. And what we see here and what he promises us here is this: if we come with that humble heart and receive the word in humility, and take time to read the word and to ponder and reflect over it, to let God speak to us, and we have a way to remember it, and then we respond with it in obedience to what God says to us, then people are going to say, what church do they go to? There's something to that. Let's try that church out. Or people will look at that and they'll know that there is power in Jesus Christ and that this thing is real. You know that almost everybody in the world respects the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah, if you're an atheist, you ask atheists, they respect the person of Jesus Christ. I was on a blog in the Philippines, a religious blog that somebody had put up, and there's all kinds of people posting kind of things, and this one guy was saying how much he hated religion. And he was saying they're the cause of all the problems in the world, etc. And so I wrote on the blog, and I just said as well, I said, you know what, I agree with you that a lot of bad things have been done by religion, but you need to look at Jesus Christ, because he really is our model in life, and he's the perfect one, and he was the one that we should be looking at, not the people. And he said, yes, he said, you're right. I wish there were more people in churches like Jesus. That's what this guy said, who hated religion. He said that. I wish there were more people like Jesus Christ in the churches. Muslim guy was sharing how much he was impressed with the man, Jesus. Jesus is one of the prophets. He's the one who's going to judge the world at the end, according to Islam. And they have a high reverence for Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah. And in India, the Hindus, they all add Jesus to their gods. You know, you ride along in the taxi and there's Jesus and there's Buddha and there's Ganesh and there's whoever else, and they have them, and they all respect him. Yes, he's good. So people respect Jesus if only they can see Jesus in our lives. And like that German guy, if only they can see these Christians are such kind people, the love of Jesus is in their life. And if we will allow ourselves to start learning the scriptures and applying the scriptures, I know God will do some wonderful things in our lives. So as we think about it, you have your notes. You can maybe write on the back of that, or maybe you can take that and talk about it during your lunch. You can say, okay, what does God want me to do to make this real in my life? Or I want to be a doer of this message. Starting today, for the next 52 weeks, I'm going to be a doer of what I hear every week. And that would be a great thing. I'd like us just to look again at this, our theme verse, as we close. Let's read that together. James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. All right. Again, let's read it again. James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. All right, now without looking, James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James 1, 22. All right, a great practice to get into, a habit to get into in our lives. And may the Lord bless each one of us as we start to read his word in this way. All right, let's just pray before we finish our service. Our Heavenly Father, we again bow our head to you. And we want to thank you for the Bible, the beautiful word of God, given by your Holy Spirit to change our lives. And Lord, we just come again before you and we commit ourselves, Lord, in our hearts. We express to you, Lord, yes, we want to be this kind of reader of your word, to hear you, Lord, and to respond to your word so that we can reflect Jesus in the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.